If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to John chapter 15. And we're going to look at the first 8 verses. And while you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. There was a lady that came to urgent care. She told the practicing physician that she had been bitten by a raccoon and she was concerned that it might be rabid. So the physician took some tests, and when the results came back in, he confirmed her worst fear. Yes, the raccoon was rabid, and yes, he bit you. And now these are the steps that we're going to take, and here's the protocol that we're going to follow, and you'll be okay. And the lady asked the doctor for a piece of paper and a pen. And he gave it to her gladly, and he said, "Ma'am, you're not going to die. What do you need the piece of paper and the pen for?" She said, "I want to write down a list of the names that I want to bite." So why do I share that silly story? My prayer is that once you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you will be so infectious, so contagious, that other people will want what you have. And I pray that what they see in you is not some spirit like Jack or Jim or Jose, but they would actually see Jesus. Tonight we had the privilege to go out to supper with Randy and Eliza and had a great meal. And so Baby, my wife, not my daughter, Baby and I were there, and we asked the waitress if we may pray for her. And she paused and she teared up. And she said, "Wow, yes, you don't know how much I needed this." And we spent the first probably 20 minutes of our mealtime having a gospel conversation with her. We invited her to come to revival on Wednesday night. She works tonight and she works tomorrow night. We invited her to come Wednesday night to service. Baby is going to hog tie her tomorrow and have coffee with her before her shift in the morning. She's going to follow up with her and have another gospel conversation. So who knows, come Wednesday night, we might have a new sister in Christ. But one of the things that I love about what we do when we travel, and we don't have to travel, I'm on the teaching team at our home church back in Fuquay Varina, North Carolina, and we have teaching team on Tuesday, which reminds me, I need to let them know I'm not coming tomorrow. But on Tuesday mornings, I'll go to lunch before our meeting. And one of the places that I will frequent is a place called Daddy D's Barbecue. And if you haven't figured it out, I love barbecue. And I'll go to Daddy D's. The owner of the Daddy D's is a member of our church, so I certainly want to support him. And every time I go in, I have my Bible, and I sit down, and I order a sandwich, and I'll ask the waiter or waitress how I may pray for him. And over time, they've asked me, "Am I a pastor?" "No, I just love Jesus." "Why are you reading your Bible?" "I just want to get to know Jesus more." Isn't that kind of weird? Well, not for me. And through the course of conversations and through the course of time, I've been able to build relationships with the staff here at the barbecue joint. And one of the gals I invited to come to church, and I gave her my wife's number. And I said, "If you have questions or if you need someone to sit with at church, please call my wife." Well, sure enough, so I had lunch on Tuesday. On Sunday morning, she calls Baby and says, or text her, and says, "Hey, I've forgotten the address of the church. Could you tell me how to get to church?" And so she passed along that information, and then she said, "I'm so sorry we won't be there this Sunday, but we'll let people know that you're coming." And so I'm on the phone, and I reach out to the folks there at the church to make her feel welcomed. So why do we do that? The difference that Jesus has made in our lives, we want to tell somebody else. I don't live in Lebanon. Baby would love to. But the reality is, this is not our home. We're just passing through. And in the process, as we're passing through, I can promise you we're going to enjoy some great food with the intention of telling people about an even greater God. So what are you doing? What are you doing here in Lebanon? Oh, you work for the city. Oh, you work for the school system. Oh, you work for the police department. Oh, you work as a farmer. Oh, you work as a retiree. Whatever it is that you're doing, are you making much of Jesus in the process? Who better to reach Green Valley than y'all? Why? Because y'all live here. Oh, I can promise you, while we're here, we're going to do our best to make Jesus known. And I don't have to do that from the pulpit. It's a privilege to do that. So Don and Brandon, thank you for that privilege here. But it's a privilege for us to go out into this community. That's one of the things that we love doing. We partnered with Brandon and his wife Katie today. We go and visited several of the folks from this church that are unable to come to church, to be able to listen to them and share with them and to love on them and to pour Jesus into them. Which brings me to our passage tonight. In John chapter 15. This is a story of Jesus being the vine and we're the branches and God is the vine dresser or the gardener. And would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we love you and I thank you for this evening. Father, we pray for Kira, our waitress tonight, Lord. Would you continue to supernaturally drive home into her heart, Father, what we shared tonight in regards to Jesus. Father, would you draw her to yourself, even now. But Lord, now as we spend time in your word, would I hide behind the shadow of your cross? And Father, would you fill me with your spirit? Would you use me, Lord, as your mouthpiece to communicate your message to your children tonight? For I commit myself and our time, and I commit this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Here again, Brandon, Don. I don't know if we typically do this on a Monday night, but I'm going to ask if you're physically able to stand in the honor of the reading of God's Word. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. May God bless the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Genuine believers here in the community of faith should be known by their constant daily pursuit of Jesus. Not just on Wednesday night, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday night, not just on the nights of the revival, but that you're constantly seeking the Lord. You're constantly growing in your faith. You're constantly sharing your faith. And that's what a healthy community of faith should look like. Jesus here in this passage is making his last I am statements. There's seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. And in this passage, he's pointing directly to Jesus' divine identity and his purpose. That Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Those of us that are in Christ have been grafted into the vine so that the life of Christ then now should permeate our lives so that we in turn can bear much fruit for Jesus, ultimately glorifying the gardener, which is God the Father. At this point in the story, Judas has already decided to betray Jesus. And Jesus knew that he was going to leave them soon. He was going to be crucified. and dead and buried and raised from the grave on the third day and ascend into heaven. And he was just preparing the disciples for what was to come. He wanted to reassure them that he would never leave them nor forsake them. Why? Because his Spirit would stay with them forever. And so tonight I want to make three observations from this passage. The first observation I want to suggest to you here is the people of the vine. In verse 1 it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Well, Jesus is the source of life. If you were to Google source of life, it'll pull up multivitamins. Well, I take multivitamins. And one of them that I take, there are actually three horse pills that I take called Source of Life, the gold version. They have all sorts of vitamins and minerals in it. Because of my cancer and now COVID, my body is depleted of what it needs to have an immune system. And so I'm told to take lots of these supplements. Not medications, but natural supplements. Source of Life is one of them. But Jesus here is the source of life. And these vitamins are not as important to me as my spiritual life. Oh, they increase my life here on this earth physically. Well, at least the quality of life. But it's my spiritual life that I'm most concerned with, and it's one that you should be concerned with. And the source of our life spiritually is Jesus Christ. Jesus was, and he is, and he'll always be the source of healthy, abundant life for those who follow Jesus as Lord. For the Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. As Randy and I were sharing our story, the thief came literally in the form of COVID to steal our breath. But it also came literally to kill us, to put us in the grave. Randy's brother died because of that. And yet it came to steal our breath. It came to kill us literally, but it also came to destroy our lungs. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and give it to you in abundance. And people say, are you kidding me, Jonathan? I don't want an abundant life with 62% lung capacity. Are you kidding? With 100% of the 62% lung capacity I have, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. So if you guys want a good meal, go to Bonanza and ask for Kiera. And say, Kiera, how may we pray for you? Oh, and leave her a good tip. And share the difference that Jesus has made in your life. Why? Because the person of the vine, or the people of the vine, are Jesus the Son and God the Father. And if you say that you're a Christ follower, you're grafted into the vine, which means the life of Christ should fill you and flow through you. If it doesn't, I would question what vine you're grafted into. Maybe you're grafted into Virginia Creeper. I don't know. Jesus alone possesses life within himself. Why? Because John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's only through Jesus that we experience life that's abundant and everlasting. All other vines are counterfeit. Baby and I, earlier this summer, were in Savannah, Georgia, part of Mission Serve. It's a project where churches gather and they work on missions projects to be the hands and feet of Jesus in underdeveloped communities, impoverished communities, with the whole purpose of sharing the gospel. And while we were there, they gave us an afternoon off, and so we went to the old town of Savannah, and we ate some ice cream, and we were strolling down the river walk, and I noticed that there were several stands by Jehovah's Witnesses, and their sign said, are you interested in a Bible study? Well, the reality is, people are drawn to that. Oh, yes, I would love to be in a Bible study. I'm interested in that. Well, they don't talk about the Bible. They believe that Jesus was the archangel Michael, and that Michael actually, when the baby was born to Mary and Joseph, it was actually Michael that was the baby that grew up to be a man. And Jehovah's Witnesses actually believe that you can earn your way into heaven. You can earn your salvation. That's why they work so hard to invite you to a Bible study that has nothing to do with God's Word. They're trying to earn their way into heaven. And can I tell you, some of the most unhappy people I've ever met are Jehovah's Witnesses, and yet they're ones that are so, they're so passionate about inviting you to their stuff or sharing stuff with you because they're trying to earn their way into heaven. They're grafted into the wrong vine. Praise God, we can't earn our way into heaven. Because if we could, how much would we have to pay? Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk couldn't buy their way into heaven. How good is good enough? I can never be good enough. Baby might be good enough. But none of us can earn our way into heaven. None of us can buy our way into heaven. None of us can be good enough to get into heaven apart from Jesus. Jesus alone is the true source of everlasting, abundant life. But the people of the vine include Jesus as well as God the Father. The word vine dresser here refers to husbandman or gardener, the one responsible for taking care of the vineyard. That's who God is. Jesus says that the Heavenly Father is the gardener. And the gardener is involved in everything of the vine. Involved in planting and fertilizing and watering and pruning and casting out the old stuff and pruning the new stuff so that you could produce more and more fruit. God is the gardener. He provides tender watch care and protection for the vineyard. That's what Kay and Diane do. The gardener removes things from the branch that sap its vitality and strength, like the little sucker branches or the knots and things that shouldn't be on there. And anything that consumes life but produces no fruit must go. The garden, every gardener knows that. You've got to get rid of it. It draws life away from the fruit. When we allow things into our lives that hinder our walk with the Lord, then we're in danger of pruning. And pruning actually is a name that sounds very painful, and it is. But it isn't always easy to cut junk out of our lives. But I can promise you, if we don't do it, God will. The advice given in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How is pruning accomplished? It's accomplished by spending time in God's Word. As you read God's Word, He convicts you. He speaks to you. It's like a mirror. The Word of God reveals our problems. In James chapter 1, it says, for if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. God's Word is like a surgeon's scalpel. It's a sword. It's a double-edged sword. For the Bible says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Tonight, God may be speaking to you through His Word. And I pray that He'll penetrate whatever the callous is, whatever the guard is, whatever the blinders are in your life, and reveal the areas in your life that need to be rooted out. And if God is speaking to you, would you be willing to heed His call in your life to give it all to Jesus? And I challenge you to allow the Lord to prune your life. Why? So that the abundant life will be made manifested in your life. So that you would bear not some fruit, not much fruit, but bushels upon bushels of fruit for God's glory. That's the legacy that I desire to leave behind. We talked about that a little bit today. Baby and I did. I have nothing to offer, but what I do offer is the legacy of the gospel. I just want people to know Jesus. And that's our heart's desire. But secondly, I want to suggest to you here, not only do we see the people of the vine, But secondly, we see the purpose of the vine. Verses 2 through 6, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. The purpose of the vine, it's a distinct purpose. It's very clear. Verse 2. The vine has one purpose. It's to produce fruit. Not bad fruit. Good fruit. The fruit of the gospel. And the vine exists for that purpose alone. And without fruit, the vine is a waste. You got to remove the vine. You got to cut the vine. You've got to find out where the infection has come, where the bugs have gotten in and destroyed the vine, and you've got to root it out. Because the purpose of the vine is to bear good fruit. And ultimately, the true vine, Jesus, is to bring glory and honor to his Father, the vine dresser. And that should be our goal, and that should be our purpose, that every day our thoughts, our words, our actions are to glorify God. But it's also a distinguished purpose when we look at verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The reason the vine bears fruit is so that God the Father will bear the honor and receive the glory. You want to reflect Jesus. Baby will tell you when I haven't spent time in God's Word, because they'll say, Jonathan, you don't reflect Jesus much today. You're a little short, you're a little grumpy, you're a little whatever. But our purpose is to reflect Christ in all that we do and say. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. But it's also a delegated purpose. The vine does not bear fruit. The fruit comes from the branches. And the branches have the obligation of bearing fruit. But the vine supplies the life, the nutrients, everything that the branch needs to bear fruit. So if you're grafted into the vine, meaning Jesus, then in order to tap into that vitality and that source of life that comes from Jesus, then you've got to spend time in God's Word every day. You've got to spend time on your knees every day praying. You've got to spend time telling other people about Jesus. Why? So that you'll bear more and more and more fruit for God's glory. It's not the pastor's job. It's our privilege to make much of Jesus. But based on what the Bible says, it's each one of our responsibility. Why? Because the Bible says, as you're going, go make disciples. As you're going, go preach the gospel to all nations. That's what we're called to do. So I love that. But the qualifications for bearing fruit, the branch must be attached to the vine. Verse 2. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. In order to bear fruit, you have to be attached to the vine. If you cut the branch off and throw it in the fire, there's no fruit being born from that branch. It's dead. There's no life in it. If you're not in the vine, if you're not grafted into the vine, then there's no way for you to share in the vine's life. Oh, you come to church, you go to Sunday school, you come to revival. What a blessing. But there's no fruit in your life? Then my question is, are you tapped into the source? Oh, you come to events. But are you plugged into the vine? Are you tapped into the source? Are you grafted into the true vine, allowing his life to become your life, allowing his thoughts to become your thoughts, allowing his purpose and plan to become your purpose and plan? Not only does the branch need to be attached to the vine, but the branch also must abide in the vine. Verses 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. That means we must maintain our closeness to Jesus. We've got to constantly seek him daily, every moment of every day. We have to have close fellowship with him in order to have fruit in our lives. That's only accomplished by abiding in him. But how do we abide? It's by spending time in his word. How do we abide? It's by spending time in prayer. How do we abide? It's by having fellowship with other believers. How do we abide? It's by telling other people the good news. That's how you abide in the vine. Isn't there any wonder why so many Christians are barren and fruitless? Oh, they gave their heart to Christ at a revival meeting. They might have given their heart to Christ at a vacation Bible school. They might have given their heart to Christ watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. But they've never grown. Grandpa, my dad's dad, was a bivocational pastor in the Bronx, and he would always make a comment that if you are a born-again believer, you're a Christ follower, and you've been in your diapers spiritually for the last 20 years, you're going to have a big rash. And you're laughing. So in my mind, you know what I mean. As a newborn baby in Christ, I don't care if you're 82 years old and you come to Christ, you're a newborn baby. You need help feeding yourself. You need help dressing yourself. You need help changing and growing. And then as you grow and mature, then you can feed yourself and you can grow on your own. And then as you mature in your faith and in your walk with the Lord, then you can start feeding others. It's a progression. And how thankful I am that Philippians 1:6 says that he, being confident of this very thing, that he, Jesus, who began a good work in you, will perform it or complete it until the day of Christ Jesus' return. How thankful I am that he's not through with any of us yet. He has a work for each of us to do. And for some of us, some of that work involves pruning, because he wants to get rid of the things in your life that aren't producing good fruit. And then he's wanting to fertilize those things in your life that do produce fruit so that it would produce more abundant good fruit. We see the quality here. When we're abiding in the vine, he's reproducing his life in us. That's how we know that fruit is good, because we abide in Christ. And that our fruit is honoring the Lord. And we see the quantity of the fruit. Some will produce much and some will produce little fruit. But I love the steady progression here in verse 2 and verse 8. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. Verse 8. But my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So I love how it goes from bear fruit to bear more fruit to bear much fruit. It's a progression. And the progression comes through the pruning. As you continue to prune a rose bush, what happens? It puts out more buds. And as you continue to prune the rose bush, it puts out more and more buds. And then it's a spectacular garden. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our lives spiritually. He prunes us. Why? So that we'll bear fruit. And as we continue to share the good news, he prunes us some more. Why? So that we'll bear more fruit. Oh, and as we spend time in his word, and if we spend time teaching a Bible study, and we spend time sharing Jesus with a waitress, then he prunes us some more. Why? So that we will bear much fruit. I shouldn't say this, but I am. People say, Jonathan, you know, your grandfather was the greatest evangelist the world's ever known. And every time he gave an invitation, the altar was filled. How come your altar's not filled? Well, first off, it ain't my altar. Secondly, God hadn't called me to save anybody. He didn't call Billy Graham to save anybody. What he's called us to do is to share the good news and to sow the good seed. So here's the fun part. Then the responsibility falls on y'all, not on me. My responsibility is to present the good news simply, clearly, personally. It's the Holy Spirit's job to then bring about that fruit in your life. But what are you going to do with the seeds that have been sown? And what are you going to do if you know Jesus and you're grafted into the vine? What are you doing to produce good fruit? And what are you producing? What are you doing to produce more fruit? And what are you going to do to produce much fruit? The closer we abide in the vine, the more fruit he will yield through our lives. So let me share some encouragement. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament, for 40 years, had not one convert. You think Jeremiah was a failure? Jeremiah wept over the city of Jerusalem. And in Jewish culture, the Jews on their holidays are looking for the prophets to come. And when the prophets come, they know that the Messiah is on their heels, Jeremiah being one of the prophets they're looking for. I would say Jeremiah is still bearing fruit. Jeremiah chapter 1, as I was in college, I was studying or having devotions, and God spoke to me through Jeremiah 1, and that's how God confirmed his call in my life to preach the gospel. But Jeremiah gave the same excuse as I did. I'm too young, I don't know what to say, and I'm afraid. And the Lord said, I'll put my words in your mouth. You'll go to whomever I send you to, and I'll be a bronze wall and an iron pillar before you. All I can do is follow Jesus. All I can do is take him at his word and trust him. And so lastly, I want to suggest to you here, not only do we see the people of the vine being Jesus and God the Father, the purpose of the vine is to bring glory to God, but also to bear fruit, to bear more fruit, and to bear much fruit. But lastly, I want to suggest to you here the promise of the vine. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Those who abide in the true vine can rest assured that God's promises not only are true, but they're precious. When we abide in Christ as we should be, we are drawing on his life. We're experiencing the abundant life that he has for us. But in the process as well, we in turn will learn that his will is our will. And that's one of the challenges that I faced in my life growing up. I shared that at supper time tonight, that growing up, mom and dad were right up there with the Lord. They walked with the Lord, they talked with the Lord, they lived for the Lord, and so I thought that they were the Lord. Not really, but when I had a question or when I had a concern or when I had a challenge, I would go to them and I would ask for their input. Oh, mom would give me her input. My daddy never gave me his input. He'd say, Jonathan, let's look at the life of Joseph. Oh, for crying out loud. I don't care about the life of Joseph, Dad. What would you do? But you know what he was doing? One, he was terrified that he'd give me the wrong advice or that he would share some things in his past that he didn't want to share. But I think the main reason he did what he did, knowing that one day I would be an orphan and that my father would be in heaven. And where do I go? I go to God's word. Why? Because I can't go to my dad. I don't go to the life of Joseph because I'm tired of Joseph. But I'll go to God's word. That's what my dad was teaching me and training me. And my mom would give me her opinion and she would share her thoughts as to why I should do what I do. But she would always say, Jonathan, you've got to go to God's Word, and you've got to claim the promises that are there. When we abide in Christ as we should, then we're drawing on our life from His abundant life. Every time we pray, everything that we pray for will fit perfectly into His will, and He'll grant our requests. That's why Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He prayed, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. Lord, take this cup away from me. I don't want to do this. So I'm thankful that God allows us to protest. Lord, I don't want to do this. I don't like this. I don't understand this. But Lord, not my will, Your will be done. That's the promise of the vine. If we abide in Christ and He abides in us, then whatever we ask for, it will be done. Why? Because what we ask for will be in accordance to His will. As I shared earlier this week, I would go and I'd make plans and I'd say, Lord, here's my plan. This is what I want. This is what I desire. But Jonathan, I can't give You anything this way. No, you don't understand. I've gone over it backwards and forwards. It's a perfect plan. This would be the greatest. But Jonathan, that's not anything that I can give You. And so through brokenness in my own life, through cancer, through abuse, through divorce, through unemployment, through COVID, I've been broken. And in that process, Lord, this is what I desire. This is what I want. But I want what You want more. One of the things, or one of the ways the Lord has practically done that for me, because of cancer, I lost the ability to father children. And what did the Lord do? The Lord provided me with a beautiful bride, not my daughter, a beautiful bride who has three children. Oh, and what did the Lord do? He provided me with three nieces. Oh, and what did the Lord do? When I was a high school basketball coach, I'd have 10 to 15 student athletes every year. Oh, and what did the Lord do, and how did He provide? As I continued to faithfully and obediently serve Him, I trained and taught 137 employees at Chick-fil-A. I still talk to them. I still get feedback from them. They're telling me about their children growing up, and they're asking me to marry them, and I've even had some ask me to bury them. I hope I'm not around for that. But in that process, that's the fruit that's being born out of God's promise. If you abide in Christ, then whatever I pray and ask, He will answer. But what does He answer? He doesn't say, well, Lord, would You give me a Ford F-250 four-door turbo diesel King Ranch four-wheel drive? No, that's what I want. That's not a need. Matthew 6 makes that very clear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of all these things. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. I believe if you seek the Lord first with all of your heart, mind, and soul, that everything else will pale in comparison to knowing Jesus. The promise of the vine. His desire is to live through you and me. Why? So that we might bear fruit unto the Heavenly Father. And He promises that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And as we close, here are a couple of questions that you need to answer. Not out loud. I just want you to ponder them in your heart. Are you in the vine? Have you been saved and grafted into Jesus? Are you abiding in the vine? Meaning, are you drawing your strength from Him? Why? So that He is able to produce His fruit in your life and through your life. Are you bearing His good fruit today? Thankfully, I wasn't on Interstate 81. Are your thoughts glorifying to God? Are your words glorifying to God? Are the places that you frequent glorifying to God? Are the websites you visit glorifying to God? Where do you stand with Jesus today? If God has revealed areas in your life that you need to get right, that need to be pruned back. And the reason Jesus prunes us back is not because he hates us, it's because he loves us and he wants us to live a life that's abundant and everlasting, and he wants us to bear fruit, much fruit, for God's glory. But I challenge you today to come to Jesus and let him take care of your needs. If you've never given your heart to Christ, then tonight would you come and give your heart to Christ? Would you be willing to admit that you're a sinner? Be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ to save you? Would you be willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you shall be saved? And by faith, just ask him to come into your life. Maybe there's someone here today that's given your heart to Christ, but your life is not bearing fruit. You can tell me when you walk down the aisle. You can tell me when you gave your heart to Christ. You can tell me the difference that Jesus has made in your life. But yet you're not bearing fruit for the King of Kings because you're so busy bearing fruit for your kingdom. Building your new vacation home. Buying your 13th vehicle. What are areas in your life that need pruning, that need to be given over to the Lord? And the purpose of doing so is say, Lord, here I am, all of me I give to you. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we love you, and I thank you for the privilege here tonight to talk about the vine, Lord, and abiding in it. Lord, and the life that we gain through Jesus. And Father, too many times we're distracted by the world. And we spend time, Lord, pursuing the world's things and having the world's standards and having the same beliefs that the world has. And Father, then we wonder why we're not living an abundant life. Well, it's evident, Lord, by the fruit that we bear. And for those of us that have never been grafted into the vine, this is my heart's cry for you. That tonight you would cry out to Jesus. And how do you do that? You admit that you're a sinner. And be willing to turn from your sin and turn to Christ. And then by faith, would you commit your heart and life to Christ? If that's your heart's desire tonight, then would you pray silently in your heart after me and mean it with all sincerity? Jesus, save me. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. Prayer doesn't save you. It's Jesus that saves you. And the Bible says that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And tonight, if you have called upon Jesus to save you from your sin and to save you into a personal relationship with himself, then we stand and sing our closing hymn of invitation. I'm going to ask that you come forward and share of your decision to follow Christ and to give your heart to Christ with Pastor Brandon here. But there may be someone else here tonight that you've given your heart and life to Christ. And if you were to die here tonight, you would stand before a holy God and he would ask you why he would let you into your heaven. And you could tell him it's only because of Jesus. But then when it comes to the great white throne and we stand before him and he passes out the gifts and we lay at his feet wood, hay, and stubble, and it's consumed with fire? Or do we lay aside the gold and the precious jewels and the silver that are formed into a crown? And maybe tonight you've heard that, oh yes, you're grafted into the vine, but you have not been bearing fruit. And so tonight I just want you to come to the altar and I just want you to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, do whatever it takes to prune me, to make me into your instrument, to make me into your image, Lord, so that I can bear good fruit in your name. Would you do that tonight? So, Lord Jesus, would you move in the hearts and lives of your children? And Holy Spirit, would you have your way? In Jesus' name, amen.